Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-hosts, Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another Thursday edition of Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. It is Thursday, August 4th. I can't believe we're into August already. Of course, I'm your co-host, Scott Fullerton, as always with my wonderful co-host, Kevin Hogan. Kevin, how are you today?
Well, hello, you exciting, exciting co-host. I know we have a lot to talk about, but just to go back, we were talking a little bit before the show. I have to tell everyone, I'm sitting beside a chihuahua who's totally asleep with a little bit of his tongue sticking out as the sun's going down. So I am all ears, as they say, and I succeeded in rubbing his belly and finally sitting down to have this chat because I have been running all day. So I'm just so psyched to be here, obviously. That's the short of it.
Well, I am too. I always love our conversations every Thursday. And it has been summertime, so some of our guests have had a lot of last-minute issues. So we're going to be doing another current event show today. And we'll probably have a couple of more shows throughout the summer. But it's nice. Yep. We get to talk about what's happening, and it gives us a chance to catch up, which we don't have time to do that much. So I like it.
Well, it would just be really nice if we could interview someone who's actually, you know, been at Central and part of what's going on in politics lately. So, you know, I just wish we could have someone on the show today that could talk about that. And, hey, geez, we got Scott. This could
what
be more current, more important. And I am just so excited because here's the other thing. I've been so busy with healing, you know, the Healing Stigma stuff and everything else that's going on with that is that you and I actually haven't spoken yet. So I, you know, we follow each other. We do the social media. I'm always trying to, you know, check out the other shows on Left of Straight and hear what's going on. But to be honest, you and I haven't spoken from what has been an incredible week for you. Isn't that correct?
It's been a crazy time, and we try to get together when we can, but you're right. Both of us have been so busy. It's like, oh, I'll see you on Thursday.
So tell us, tell the audience, and, you know, obviously I can't wait. What's the week been like? What did you fill that time up with?
Well, we talked a little bit last week. I was very excited to be invited this past Saturday to Hillary Clinton's rally in good old Northeast Ohio, Youngstown.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was after the Thursday. The next day, Friday, they went to Harrisburg and stayed in Philly for there. Then on Saturday, they came to Pittsburgh and to Youngstown here. And actually, they went to another place. I forget the name, the city in between. And then Sunday, they went to Columbus. But it was an amazing event, if not we'll call it typical campaign event, as I've heard of in the past. The event was supposed to start at 7:45, and I was volunteering for the event, which is one of the reasons I got to be up close and personal. And so I had to be there at 4 o'clock, and her motorcade arrived at 10:20. So it was a little bit of a long day. So, yeah, but it was a great event. I mean, it was amazing.
That's cool.
We had the event was in a high school hereby. It probably should have been a little bigger event, but her upfront team picked the venues and everything. We have a couple bigger venues that it probably should have gone to because they had about 400 people in the overflow crowd that they let outside the auditorium where we were in the gym of a high school. And then they let 400 people in the outside of the gym area there that was indoors. Then they had to turn away about 1,000 people outside because just wasn't enough room for them. So it should have gone to a little bigger venue, but it was very nice. It was warm out that day, of course, Northeast Ohio humidity.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because of the length of it, there were some people standing for like 6 hours. So that was a little tough.
Oh,
we had three little pass outs because of the heat. They finally started passing out water to everybody about halfway through. They got a little smart there.
Wow. Yeah.
I just got to say it was worth every second of the event. When described. We had all of our local politicians up first, but then it was herself and Bill Clinton and Tim Kaine and his wife. All of them were so lovely and were so well-spoken. Poor Tim Kaine, I think he's going to have to get used to this a bit. He was already losing his voice about halfway through. So, because they were hitting people. I mean, they had the events through the convention. Then they had three. This was the third day in a 4-day road trip. But she was like, I got to tell you, Kevin, she was on target. She was speaking better than I've ever heard her speak. I mean, I don't know where the Energizer batteries fit in her, but I mean, she was amazing.
Here's one thing. I mean, here's the thing. I have studied this and looked at this from so many different angles. I'm so excited for you, and I wasn't there. I'm listening to this, and I'm so thrilled for you because I know how hard you work for our whole LGBT community, regardless of party, as well as what a great, you know, I know the relationship you talked about with your mother as well in your house, how you've grown up in a Democratic house. And, you know, for me as a Boston Irish kid, you know, I mean, geez, guess what? My mother was working years and years and years ago before I was a glint in anyone's eyes. And this young guy came in that all the telephone operators wanted to shake their hand. And guess what? It was Jack Kennedy running for Senate. You know, I get it. I totally get this. But in the meantime, I think in terms of a political, whatever you want to call it, odyssey, I don't know what to call it these days, but it's a marathon. And I really think she has been in service to the government, in service to others, and learning how to both win and lose gracefully and move on and find diplomacy for such a long time and in the shadow of so many others and through so many other things that have been scrutinized in the media that I just so thrilled that she is putting all of this together as a survivor and then putting all together as Hillary and then putting her own, you know, expertise on this at a time when, you know, let's face it, you know, who's the biggest in terms of, I mean, yes, she nailed it in terms of getting a historic moment there. You know, what did she just tweet? History. That was brilliant. Right when she got the nomination. How wonderful. But the other thing in this is, you know, not to say I'm predicting this, but as I said, you know, it was mothers in Belfast that found peace when everybody else was trying to, you know, stir up a lot of other things, let's say, on both sides. And right now, it was a mother who said nothing at the Democratic convention that, in my mind, spoke the loudest words so far. It may be making one of the biggest shifts. You know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm talking about.
No, exactly. Yeah, I think you're exactly right with the cons and all the controversies. But you're right. Her silence was just amazing.
Did you read, by the way, I have to ask this. We'll get back to your stuff. I'm not trying to take the spotlight, but you're talking about, you know, I think it's such an important year for so many different communities to find their voice. And did you see when she found her voice in, I think it was the Washington Post article? Did you read that?
She did. That's what she did. She did a Washington Post op-ed piece, and it was beautifully written, I did.
Oh,
I thought it was beautiful.
That's the first time I wanted to send Donald Trump a thank you card. He actually was he stuck his foot so far in his mouth that he got, and I hope I'm sending her first name right, Zala Khan, Captain Khan's wonderful and courageous mother, who's, you know, as a mother, as she's saying, with that picture behind her, she didn't need to say a word.
Right.
You know, she didn't need to say a word. But imagine someone actually then presuming it's someone's religion or presuming in that moment of ultimate. And then, of course, how he answered what he thought sacrifice was is just surreal for someone who works as a, you know, writer and understands language. His answer for sacrifice or all these wonderful successes he had, that was just absolutely surreal. But in the meantime, her article that came out, if that's the result of him putting his foot in his mouth, her article that came out, like you said, it's so well written. It's so heroic. And so, again, in a year of mothers and a year of women who have sacrificed, I'm so happy to hear that Hillary Live is a show that has polish and looks like it's going to go the distance because we need it. We need people building bridges.
Exactly. And not anyone's a perfect candidate. And I understand people are going to have some issues. But as you said, you have to look at the both historic nature of the woman presidency, both the historic nature of someone being in the public eye for 40 years and still standing. I couldn't take half that scrutiny in half that time. Just amazing.
Or can I also say, or you can just listen to Homer Simpson because the Simpsons have now come out. Did you hear about this? This is true.
I did, right?
they came out and endorsed Hillary Clinton. So you know, it depends on what you trust. But there you go.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's been a crazy campaign season, that's for sure. And like I said, I'm very proud to be with them.
What happened? Who else did you meet? I heard you met someone else there, not just Hillary.
Well, Bill Clinton almost kissed me. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, my Lord. I think we should get that as a T-shirt. Bill Clinton almost kissed me. That really sounds like a whole nother movement right there. No, we're not going to bring that up. No. But I love that. So go ahead, explain what happened there, because we can't take that line out of context and leave him hanging. Go ahead, tell the story. I love it.
Well, everyone, I mean, we love everyone that's downloading the app and listening to us on playback. But if you have a chance, go to Blog Talk Radio, because I'm going to have the pictures up from the event.
Okay.
But they were going along the line. There was a line, and I always got to be in the front of the line there, and they were going through, and Bill came by first, and he shook my hand and said, "Hey, how are you?" And I said, "Great, such a pleasure to meet you." And he kind of pulled my hand into him. I thought, "Oh my God, he's going to!" And he reached back and he patted this other girl behind me on the shoulder. And I went, "Oh, okay, never mind." But you look at a picture at the exact same time. I had the picture hand. I had my phone sitting in my other hand, and it looks like he's literally 4 inches from my face. And it looks like he's coming in for a kiss. So that's how I captured it in social media, I think. Bill Clinton's going to kiss me. This could have been awkward. But I will have pictures in the Blog Talk. We always do our little slideshow underneath. And if you haven't watched us on Blog Talk, if you're only listening on the podcast, I recommend going on to the Blog Talk just every once in a while, because we put not only slides of all of our great guests, but there's also information on how to, links to their shows and our social media and everything. So definitely. But Bill Clinton was great to meet. There was all sorts of people that Tim Kaine and his wife were absolutely lovely. They were very nice. Poor Tim Kaine's got to get used to this talking biz. He was already losing his voice day three into it. But
all right, here's trivia. What instrument does Tim Kaine play?
I do not know that. I only know about Bill's saxophone. What does Tim play?
The harmonica, from what I hear.
Really? I did not know that.
Check me on it. I didn't double check it. I think I only got it from one news media source, but I'm pretty sure it's the harmonica. You heard it here.
Right.
Go out and check me on it. I could be wrong. I'm just a working guy.
I
heard it's the harmonica. Hey, but that's a great one, in the sense that she's ready, she's going for it. And you know what? The thing I like about – here's the one thing about him, and this is one thing I didn't really know much about Tim Kaine, okay? But the one thing I got to say is, and there's a whole bunch of things that have developed recently also that are a bit surreal about the, you know, Donald Trump and what he said about female harassment in the workplace. This is crazy.
Sexual harassment in the workplace, right?
About if someone asked him, I think it was, you know, if Ivanka was harassed, what he thought should happen. He said, "I would hope she would quit and get another job."
Right.
Oh,
can you believe
God,
that?
Is he right? It's just, well, I mean, here's the thing. The fact that others don't get it as well, and that, you know, it's creating such an implosion, if you will. And then I kind of feel bad. It's like this Greek tragedy where his kids have to keep coming back and defend him all the time. But I mean, that is obviously, we realize that is exactly the horrible. I mean, look at the advice that brought the American Civil Liberties Union to the Northern California district there for it was Raising Zoe for the young trans girl. That's the exact same thing. You should move your daughter to another school. You should drop out for safety, or because basically we don't want to understand you and your individual rights.
Right, exactly.
You know, so the victim should move. This is so horrible, and this person is running for president. That here's the thing. He always will come back, as far as I see, saying that he's right and the other person attacked him, regardless of what it is, or it's going to be rigged, or it's unfair. And, you know, I mean, look, you've got on every angle, you've got people that I believe and certain experts standing up, like, what was it, Warren Buffett, saying, look, you can release your taxes.
Right, right.
And he's, you know, I mean, as far as I understand, Warren Buffett is a pretty intelligent person when it comes to things like taxes. You know what I'm saying? The guy's, you know, he's not a slouch when it comes to numbers. Next on this, you've got, what is it, Meg Whitman. You know, I mean, that was astounding. Meg Whitman, the, what is it, the former, or is it, she's still the CEO there? Or, yep. but also, I mean, a real, you know, a Republican fundraiser is now, you know, her comments. Go read them. I'm not gonna sum those up. They're really powerful. And I can't believe, you know, and it's true. I mean, what she's saying, you know, we can't be supporting hatred, you know, racism, xenophobia, all these other things that are being stirred up. But in the meantime, getting back to this, Tim Kaine seems to me to be like, here's the thing. Hillary doesn't pick it, I don't think, just for votes. I'm sure she's got people that give her advice. She's the person that can take over the moment she gets there in case something, you know, terrible, we pray not, incapacitates her. She's thinking that far ahead to actually fill the role of someone she can work with. And he seems like fallible, a human being with heart on the trail, which is so much better than someone who's supposed to appear perfect in all ways and is going to tell you how perfect he is by telling you how many structures he's built. The Kaine ticket surprised me in some ways, but at the same time, you hear him, you see him, and he's a real person who she can work with to run this country in a calm, trusted way. And I know people will attack her on whatever other things, but God, don't you want somebody in that office who's going to keep the peace? Do we really want our children to be faced with more war?
Right, exactly. And I've really been wanting to ask you the last couple of days, too, because it's going to my mind. I mean, he's had such a bad 36 hours, Trump has. And it's as you said, it's almost to the point where he's being told he has a narcissistic personality disorder. Have you come across this in your healing stigma where someone – what do you think has someone to be so – the disillusion like that? Do you think there's something in the past, or what do you think's causing this?
Yeah, I mean, here's something I'm going to say about this in a very serious way, but literally, I've never been so busy at what I do, and I hope in the future it's going to – here's the thing. I do everything from helping – you know, in the consulting side of trying to prevent stigma from arising from those that want to recognize it and challenge it. But I also counsel and work one-on-one and a whole bunch of services in between from those, be it, you know, again, an organization dealing with someone who is stigmatized within the organization or an individual who is stigmatized. And this can be for a whole host of reasons, from sexual orientation to, you know, as we see immigration issues, the young valedictorian Muslim girl who spoke, young lady who spoke at her school, and I believe it's on our social media for Healing Stigma, and then says she never felt stigmatized for her religion and for her beliefs until a Trump rally came to, I think, even her school or whatever it was, and then afterwards, and there was outside or whatever, all of this, you know, anti-Muslim feeling and sentiment, and that's horrible, right? So I'm trying to build bridges with the work I do with the Department of Health and Human Services for the trauma-informed congregations, with other faith leaders that are so brave, that are oftentimes the ones on the front lines of extremely, extremely, as I say, communities that need to have the truth told to them and good communication lines open, especially after something traumatic happens, especially if one person in that community is suddenly seen as causing a problem for everyone there, and, you know, news reporters and everything else come and everything is stirred up, right? So where does the peace of mind come from? And the one thing I can tell our listeners is this: I probably spend more time now than ever trying to open up those lines of communication before there is a problem. Those are the ones that people go to after they are, you know, God forbid someone goes through what I went through. But trust me, reach out. We will get you help through Healing Stigma. Reach out to Healing Stigma Radio, whatever, Scott. Reach out so he'll get in touch with me. We will help you. But at what I do every single day now, what I'm telling people is I see it in, you know, everything from when law enforcement is feeling stigmatized and rightfully at times challenged and to the, you know, threatened with their lives, their safety, to, you know, people that are, you know, literally losing the battle against some of the worst substance abuse we've ever seen, with beds filled, you know, in their community, trying to reach out for help. Whatever it is that I come in and whenever I work with that, I try to already have vetted people that I've already worked with, know, and can say, look, we're gonna get through this. We're gonna talk. I'm gonna listen and all the rest. But the most important thing is having those kinds of lines at another planning of communication open ahead of time. You don't, when you meet someone in a traumatized moment, when you meet someone at a really down moment in your life, like I said, I wish the Healing Stigma program, this isn't an ad, but it's the truth. When what happened to me happened, I wish the Healing Stigma program was around. I would have used it in an instant.
Of course, right.
You know, because when you're, here's the thing, when you're down, oftentimes, and this is terrible, there can be other situations, other people, maybe it's with the best of intentions, but it can either stir up more stigma by trying to hide it, trying to, people say, listen, let's just try to pretend this didn't happen, or saying your experience isn't valid. You know, I think there's another thing going on here recently along with the, you know, whatever the lines that are being drawn here for the Trump campaign, there's another thing going on in this country right now, I think, for our LGBT community, which is we have people of color, especially in the LGBTQ community, suffering higher rates of violence, suffering higher rates of victimization. And I believe that, you know, and I've said this for a long time now, that I have not heard any call for violence or any kind of aggression against the police through something like Black Lives Matter. But at the same time, I have, and I'm just saying this, this is off the record, just between us and our huge radio community. But I've actually heard and have been surprised and actually then talked with people and challenged this when I have heard people within the LGBT community saying, you know, I don't want to hear anything about Black Lives Matter because the rainbow movement isn't about race. I don't see color. And I'm like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, minority communities under attack with the kind of violence. You take a look at, you know, the numbers of hate crimes in this country, and the rates, the statistics that are kept are very carefully recorded, and the number of hate crimes against African Americans is more than double the next category, which is either, it usually jumps year to year between either hate crimes against the gay community, specifically the gay community, or anti-Semitic against the Jewish community. Those ones, the statistics can flip-flop, but the anti or the hate crimes against African Americans is literally a much, much larger number. So the statistics
exactly
support the fact that by supporting one part of the community that is under and feels under attack, you actually may wind up supporting everyone, because in the future, the best, even the best policing is going to be community policing, where those lines of communication. I meet these people every day now, Scott. They're the bravest people I know that go into before there's a problem to meet and talk. And, you know, here's one. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I saw it the other day here in Boston. They got an ice cream truck. And, I mean, we've got some serious in Boston, some serious during the summer, just horrible gun violence. You know, I mean,
okay,
just horrible. They went out and just gave out ice creams on a hot – I know it sounds so cliche, but to go out and meet everyone in the neighborhood and seeing the kids, seeing, you know, just, you know, a cop in uniform giving them a free ice cream – it might really sound cliche, but those faces, those smiles aren't forgotten in a time of crisis then later. Opening up those lines really is important. And so, yeah, I mean, I take my hat off to everyone that tries to keep those lines of communication open early. And that's what I'm so busy doing as well as those that are affected by it. It's not slowing down, unfortunately. I'm not just blaming this on politics, but we have a social media and a society that is extremely driven by image. And if that image comes under attack in some way, if someone does something, here's one. I don't mean to change the subjects, but it's you and I talking today. Corinne Gaines, the Baltimore mother. How about that story?
Oh, you got to catch me up on that one. I'm not sure if I'm caught up on that.
This is the, I believe it's from Baltimore. It was the mother who was shot dead. She was armed. She had a shotgun, but police showed up to issue a warrant. Her five-year-old child was there, and I believe the child was also shot. He's recovering. He didn't die. She died.
Oh, you're kidding. I've not heard that yet.
Yeah, she's a young African-American mother with her five-year-old child. I believe the police went there to issue two warrants for arrest. It took a long time. She actually, it's coming out more and more now. She was actually trying to live stream the standoff, possibly inspired by what had happened earlier, maybe through something like Facebook. But her social media accounts had been suspended because she had already threatened violence to the police that were there. She was armed. But here's just the tragic part of it. She was wanted for a traffic violation. That's what is, you know, what I've read in the news from back in like March. So
wow.
Ultimately she was in a desperate, desperate place. This young mother was in a desperate, desperate place. The firearms were there. The words were exchanged. I do believe she shot first. But again, tragically, she was shot in front of her child. Her child was shot as well, 5 years old. This is the kind of violence our police deal with, our, you know, communities are dealing with. The firearms are there, and it's going to be the bridges and the bravery of having, you know, communication beforehand, during, and after stigma occurs. You know, here's the one thing. I want to go out of business someday because stigma doesn't exist anymore. I really want to make that happen. But in the meantime, the road before it is a lot of work to do. It really is. And the people, here's the other thing, the people that I'm working with, they motivate me every day because I see the weight come off of their shoulders when they're able to, you know, put stigma in its place and move past it. But it keeps cropping up in our society every single day in new and surprising ways for me. I'm never at a loss for how quickly it can crop up on an individual or community with one thing on Facebook or one thing spread in the news.
Well, your work is so important. I just get amazed by everything you do every day. That is so cool. Let's go ahead and take a quick break for our audience. So
yeah.
We're going to play a little bit of our good friend Matt Van Fossen, a little country day here on Healing Stigma Left to Straight Radio. This is where you're going to run to now with Matt Van Fossen. You're listening to Scott and Kevin. Be back in just a couple of minutes.
Sun coming up, West Virginia Highway. Just couldn't sleep in the bed that you made. We're going to run to now. We're going to run to now. Black in your cup, don't know where you're going, only know you can't stop. Where you gonna run to now? Where you gonna run to now? When you run out of road, run out of reasons, run out of luck and lines to believe in, where you gonna run to? Running so fast, the past fall behind you. Running so fast, the future can't find you. That holds you, offering the love fading in your rear view. Where you gonna run to now? Where you gonna run to now? Tomorrow coming fast over the horizon. Jesus on the dash, devil riding shotgun. Where you gonna run to now? Where you gonna run?
Run out of road, run out of reasons, run out of luck and lies to believe in, where you gonna run?
And we are back. That is Matt Von Fossen. You're going to run to now. Kevin and I are just so happy to have you guys along on this Thursday. It's so much going on in the news, like we were talking about. We had so much going on, still political somewhat. Did you see that John Hinckley, I guess, has finally made parole? And
no.
It's really causing a lot of controversy. I mean, not just because he was the one that shot, of course, Reagan. What's the secretary? Blank on his name. But they're saying that there was actual victims there, and the two Secret Service people that jumped in front of him are still alive, and the trauma and the stigma that they have with this. So I just think it's an interesting thing that he's actually finally being released. Have you heard too much about it yet?
No, I haven't heard anything about it. I'm honestly not informed on this, so I can't say that I have an opinion on it, because I'll be curious to take a look at it. But I do know that I believe it's one of the Secret Service agents who I believe he's paralyzed from the neck down. I mean, for the rest of his life after this, but went on to Jim Baker? No, Jim Baker.
Right.
Was
it Jim Baker that was shot with Reagan?
I'm not sure.
I'm confused, but I thought it was Baker with him.
And he became a very eloquent, I believe, speaker about, sane gun, I believe laws, sane gun, thoughts. And because here's the thing, I really don't think I have ever heard anyone talk about coming and taking everyone's guns away the way, it is portrayed in certain lines of the media. I've looked for it. I've tried to find it,
right.
And the only time you can see that language used is in inflammatory media outlets. That's it.
Exactly. And it's frustrating. Well, you hear Canada say that they're coming to take away your guns. No one's coming to take away your guns.
Yeah.
They're coming to do
right.
common sense gun laws. And that's kind of what I want to do the segue this, because I believe it was James
sure.
Baker that got shot with Reagan, and he was part of the assault weapon ban and all that happened because of it.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy that we're still going through that to this day. We have such a powerful lobby in the gun lobby that doesn't even want to talk about universal background checks. I mean, no one wants to take away guns. I mean, everyone loves their hunting and their fishing and handguns. My mom was actually my mom's favorite job ever. My mom's only had a very few jobs, but her favorite job, she was the office manager and in charge of the San Gabriel Valley Gun Club in Southern California. And
you guys are so cool.
Kevin, she is dangerous. I mean, she can handle her. I won't tell you. You don't want to break into this house. I'm telling you, she's a better shot than my dad and any of my three brothers, my two brothers and I. She
oh
used to
goodness.
Go out, Kevin, with the L.A. SWAT team would come to the gun range to do their practicing for their certification. And two times out, the Israeli Secret Service came out there to shoot. And they invited
goodness.
Her to the Israeli consulate in Washington, D.C. the next time she went to Washington, D.C. because she made such an impression. She was like shooting up. She was shooting up bands and stuff with the SWAT team. She was amazing.
That's hilarious. That is
like,
absolutely
it has nothing
hilarious.
To do with it. I mean, she
good honor.
Is huge with this, but as common sense goes, she just can't understand, as do I, why we can't have universal background checks, why we can't do the mental health checks, things like that. It's just kind of crazy.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there has to be a shift towards sane conversation, which is another reason why the current political tenor, if you want to call it, is, I believe, oftentimes a wasted opportunity of name calling at times, and then, others literally trying to just, I mean, here's the other thing. All you have to do now is hire a good film editor, I believe, if you're Hillary's campaign manager, and just splice together the amount of times, and I'm not making it, but the amount of times that Donald Trump goes back and forth and literally contradicts himself, and in short time frames, it leaves you wondering, what is the man thinking?
Right.
So,
crazy.
I mean, and actually for me, it doesn't leave me thinking like that. I got more important things to do. I really don't want to know. What I want to know is, what could we be doing instead of throwing names now at each other? I mean, here's the thing. I don't mean this mean. I'm not trying. No one knows really who I'm talking about. I saw a gentleman today with what's that thing that he, I mean, I wrote against, not against it, but I wrote, the thing in the Huffington Post. Go and check this out, folks. I said a long time ago, I wrote, we the people make America great. was one of the articles I wrote in there. And I saw a guy with one of the Trump hats. What is it? Make America Great Again. And he was just being really rude to a worker behind the counter, you know, with a hat on, just kind of getting in this worker's face. And the person's like, hang on, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This is causing a little bit of extra weight. And he goes, well, I didn't come here to wait. And this was a young person, probably maybe working a summer job, you know, sweating bullets, trying to do the best they could, and just went to get their manager to make sure that this person's order was right or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And I just found that kind of rudeness, that kind of brusqueness to be absolutely uncalled for a person who's trying to make a living as well. And being polite, called the person sir, was not a goof off, listened to the order, and just wanted to check something with the computer. And God knows, aren't we all waiting on a computer these days? You know,
right.
And I was just found, I was like, look, I said, if that's going to be the tenor of the campaign, let's change it. Let's have conversations.
Right. Honestly,
that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
This is what it's felt like to me the entire time, that Donald Trump is running the campaign as if this was a high school running for the class president. Like, I will give you this. I'm going to give you an extra hour of lunch. Have free lunches every day. It's like, it's okay if he is saying all these things, but you need to have how you're going to do it to back him up. I'm a very impartial. I vote Democrat all the time, but if you show me a good policy thing, I have a very open mind, and if he would have policies to back up anything he's saying about, it would be a lot more palatable, because these are what we need right now. Like you said, we need ideas on how to fix the problems, not just state the problems. Anybody can state what the problems are, but we need to know how to fix them.
Here I am. I'm in the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts, all right? And guess what? It ain't perfect. It's nicknamed Taxachusetts, or we have on our bumper stickers, Massholes. And trust me, we drive like that. But anyway, other than that, and I love this state. I love Boston. I love the history. And, even though I've traveled and gone away, I love being here in so many for interesting, you know, the universities, whatever it is. But don't forget, we have a Republican governor. I'm not saying he's perfect. And we have a highly, highly, you know, democratically voted in, House and everything else that goes along with it here. But what I think is amazing is they have to work together on issues to get things done. And I know we got some, you know, probably Puritan laws that aren't working perfect, but they have to talk to each other. They have to, you know, they have to do things that inform each other and listen to each other. And we have to do that from a local across, you know, different, like I said, I do it in the work between different faiths. Here's a crazy thing. I don't know when I saw it, but I also featured this, and that's the wrong use of the word. Pardon me on that, everyone. I'm so sorry. Long day. But here's the, I think, wonderful picture. And it doesn't need anything, but shortly after, the Sunday after the terrible murdering of the Catholic priest, the elderly priest in France, there were a number of Muslim leaders, community leaders, and others who went to Catholic Mass to support their Catholic faith leaders, their counterparts in the Catholic Church. They went to Catholic Mass as Muslim faith leaders, as members of the Muslim community, to go and support the Catholics there. Now, that picture,
amazing,
you know, at the end of Mass, for those that know a Catholic Mass, there's a handshake. And that picture, even though it had, you know, the underlines and everything else, if you just saw the date on the page and you saw the picture, trust me, that's what I try to do every day. I can't take credit for that, but those are the kind of handshakes that I try to help happen in the room so that people start to heal. Because guess what? None of us, as I said before, I don't think any of us want our kids to grow up in a world filled with more hate than there is right now, with more cause for war and more people displaced. And that's not going to happen with bombs being hurled at each other. It's going to be bridges and brave, brave communication that opens up before there's trauma and during and after.
And we have to keep both sides accountable. Like I said, I think that a big difference between ourselves and Republicans a lot of the times, like we have this $400 million in miscellaneous currency to Iran right now that we're talking about, right? And then we have all sorts of theories going on there. But as a patriot, I think you need to understand where it comes from and look into it instead of immediately attacking somebody. Could this be done kind of underhandedly? Possibly, but you had so many great points of how of the other ways it can go that it's like you have to give people the benefit of the doubt sometime as well.
Yeah, but also just here's what I think will be great. Someone should do this. Please send it into the show. I am doing a lot of other things. Take a look at how many different ways this word cash is going to be called everything from payoff to bribe to what is the other thing when for a hostage? Oh, ransom. It's going to be called escrow. It's going to be called a contract or whatever these other things are going to be. Depending on who's talking about it, it's going to be called a whole bunch of different things. But I think I said this before we were talking. I said if it wasn't two countries, it would be called business.
Exactly.
Do you want two countries throwing bullets at each other, or do you want two countries, regardless of what each country has to say to save face, after a nuclear deal, after hostages have, come home, whatever, I get that people are going to want to call it something to talk about one party or the other as having the right thing on this. Well, I don't see either party as having a monopoly on patriotism, but I also don't see either party having a monopoly on how to find peace. So, that's all I'm saying. Give it some thought. And the other thing is, take a look at the country of Iran if you haven't. Go read a book on it, on the history of it, because it is a fascinating country. And we really want to be more at peace with Iran, because as a kid growing up and remembering what it was like for the first, the American hostage crisis that happened there and the kind of terror and everything else, I actually later on through traveling and everything else, I have seen and met so many wonderful families from Iran who have heritage there that were displaced during that particular situation. Look at what's happening to Syria now currently. And then recently there's now chemical attacks on some of their citizens. We don't need countries displacing more of their citizens. We need to help countries that are working towards being peaceful be able to be informed and still be free naturally to have their own religions and to have their own ways of treating that. And in our country, that way is respect everyone's religion. Don't cause a person to feel bad because of one particular problem that is terrorism that is not an entire religion. And that's the problem that, again, coming back to Trump, when he foments that and a young woman, the valedictorian, she comes in and talks about that feeling eloquently. When Mrs. Khan talks about it eloquently, writes about it in the Washington Post, all I can say is the best thing that's happening for us as Donald Trump goes forward are these, and right now, brave women of faith and others speaking their minds in America, in which freedom of speech is all about being able to do that. So go ahead, Trump. You got a lot of smart people here that I believe are going to step up to the microphone and find a way of, finding their speech, and I hope heard by others, because that's the sanity we want in this country. And I think we love peace. We want it. We don't want to go to war.
And I think a lot of these nations peoples want that. It's the leaders and the dictators that are having the confrontation with each other. I think the people of Iran and the people of a lot of countries, would rather have the peace. They don't really want all
this
stuff
that's
happening.
Here's the thing I want, at least. This isn't comedy. This is truth. I don't want someone who a few months ago says they have a relationship with Vladimir Putin, recorded on a number of times, and then now says, I don't know Vladimir Putin. I don't have a relationship with him. I at least want someone who remembers that fact. If you've met him and you know him or not, check one box. If you're not sure, then please step out of the race. I'm not making that up.
Exactly. I love it.
That's kind of an important one to know. I know who I give my business card to. I try to look people in the face. I try to remember them. I'm pretty good with names. I'm not perfect. But I got to tell you this. I have not met Vladimir Putin yet, and I can tell people that no matter where I go. And if I couldn't, I would definitely not be running for any office.
I hear that. Amen, brother.
Not making it up. Check me.
All right. Well,
so, hey, what's new? What do you – Okay, go ahead. I want to hear what's coming up for you now, because here's the thing I'm really curious about, which is this is primed, and now Ohio is such. I want to hear what you think is going to happen now for these next. I know you're doing the phone bank still and all the rest. I'd love to hear what you feel is going to be so important in Ohio coming up in these next 97, 96, 95, whatever it is days.
Honestly, it's my county. Mahoning County is the one to watch. It was actually mentioned in the convention, and we have one of the most Democratic leaning counties in the entire state. And by that I mean all the cities surrounding it are primarily Democratic mayors, council, things like that.
Yep.
But in this past election, in the primaries here, they had over 100,000 people, and we're not talking we're a huge county. The Rust Belt, right? A lot of our jobs have gone away, and a lot of people have moved away here.
Yeah.
But 100,000 people changed over to the Republican Party to support Trump. 100,000 people. It's huge for our area because our area is, like I said, it was 95% Democrat. With those 100,000 people, it brings it to 70% Democrat. That's how many small amount of people we have. So it's turning out that this is going to be a very important county here. So they're starting to do door walking this week. Usually they start in after Labor Day doing door walking and kind of trying to start the conversation. We have people out going this weekend door to door to try to kind of shape this conversation. Thank goodness it's being helped a lot this week by this week's news cycle. But yeah, Ohio's going to be – it's always important. I think all of the swing states are important. Colorado is in play again, which is – very unusual for them. They were a highly red state for a long time, but it's gone blue for the last couple of elections for both times for Barack Obama. We're talking a little bit about Nevada, who's primarily a red state, but their high Mormon population having trouble getting around some of the things there. So that's
Can I make a suggestion on air? Because you're going to be talking to the folks that are going out, or you're going to have some connection with them there?
Yeah, they're going to meet at my house before they go out. My happy buddy.
Well, I know you're going to say this, and I'm not telling you your job, but I would love to just, if I were there, and someday, like I said, we'll meet up and do something, as you said, coming out to P-Town or something like that. But here's one thing I would say if I was in your living room with them. All right, this is free. Everyone gather up close. Normally, if you're getting business consulting and I'm on the clock right now, you'd have to be buying my coffee and a few other things. But right now, I'm going to tell you it's free because I like you all. All right? But I tell them this, the folks that are going out, it is, and you know this, but it is really about listening. That first time around, you're not going to change people's – listen. Ask some questions about what it is that they're looking for. Find out. Listen. People want to be heard. From what you then listen over and over and over again, you will be able to address that in a meaningful way. You're not going to change someone's mind. I hear this all the time. There's a lot of these things out there now. It just recently, again, was written, I believe the Harvard Business Review had, oftentimes why diversity training per se, if it's called that, doesn't work for many people.
Right.
And, of course, it goes on to – I mean, one of the things works for me is people can't believe my backstory, and then they start to – I see the blood drain out of their face, and they realize, oh, my God, if that could happen to me, please tell me how to survive this. And I don't mean to joke about it, but I see that every day. The empathy I build is second nature, probably from a lifetime of educating. But if they're going out, I really believe the best thing they could do is really listen to the people and hear. And in doing that, that's really the best thing, is being heard and not being shouted at and not being told. And developing that and listening to that and responding to it intelligently is truly how we're going to form and always have in many ways. I think of the most important thing is what Mr. Khan pulled out of his pocket. Amazing. He pulls out the Constitution, and we're still going on about this document. All countries, other countries have constitutions, but ours is such an amazing document that, we have a document. We don't have – the greatest thing is a document that's written about beliefs and a country to be enjoyed by all in a peaceful way and pursuit of happiness for all those here is something that, for me personally, is better than looking back just at a war and just at violence. I know we have very brave people that deal every day, be it in the armed services and the police, in a way that is trained. But the last thing we really want right now is to encourage more lines of division. So, in listening to those people at those doors, they're doing the bravest and most important work. So there you go. That's my free advice.
I love it. I tell you daily that you need to have on your website, the Healing Sigma Lea website, the Kevin Hogan Daily Affirmations. Just with your voice playing that on a recording in a loop would help people so much. It's not
even funny. We're working on
it.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, we're going to take one last break. And we're going to let you put in the last word there. And we have big, exciting news for Left of Straight Radio, too, when we get back.
Yeah.
But let's listen to Matt Van Posten one more time. We're on the last break. Can't believe we're almost gone through an hour already.
I know. My chihuahua left me. My chihuahua went to his bed. He said, I got to go.
Oh, man.
No, it's good. He's very particular.
He must have stopped rubbing the belly or something or hit the wrong spot.
No, I know. He's a sundial. He follows the sun around the room as it sets. All right, go ahead. Here we go.
All right, little Matt Van Posten, guys, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left to Straight Radio with Kevin and Scott. We'll be right back. This is Time Ain't What It Used to Be.
Remember when Christmas took forever to come, and you couldn't watch TV until your homework was done?
All righty, and we are back. That is Matt Von Fossen. Time ain't what it used to be. You're listening to Healing Stigma Left of Straight Radio. Kevin, I got some news for Left of Straight Radio today.
Yeah, you've been keeping me in suspenders. I'm sorry to use that cheesy comment, but you've been keeping me in suspense now for a while. Go ahead. What is it?
All right. Well, you know our good friends. We have our good friends Ronnie and Eddie we had on a couple months back that do the fantastic work with Friend Movement, right?
Oh,
anti-bullying group out of L.A.
Yep.
So much fun.
Yep.
If you haven't listened to that show, definitely go to the website, www.healingstigmaradio.com. Go into all of our archive shows.
I love those guys.
Ronnie and Eddie. They are hilarious. Well,
yeah.
I told them for a while that I wanted to do work a job for them. And I want to get back to California, right? I haven't been to California in a while. So called up. Have you ever heard of the restaurant chain Hamburger Mary's?
I think I have. I like I said, if you consider me anything to do with California in that area, there's a term called AWOL, which is always west of Lincoln, which means you're literally almost down or on Venice Beach. And I'll tell you this one. It's not what you're asking. I'm just going to put this in. There's a place called Gabby's down at the water that has the best French fries on earth that at least I have ever tasted. And if the folks at Gabby's ever listen to this or like it or hear it, you know what I'm talking about. And it is you can see the sun literally go down over the water at Gabby's at the end of the road there at Venice Beach.
Oh, you know, I'm
so
a foodie. I love
know.
That kind of stuff. I love good food.
And so
I
didn't really leave. Once I got there and got the view and could feel the, you know, the sand just blowing a little bit off, I didn't go too far from there when I was out in that area. I loved it. So go ahead. Tell me about Hamburger Mary's. I love the name.
Awesome. Hamburger Mary's is a hamburger chain that started, and I'm not sure the exact history of it. I know it started quite a few years ago because over 25 years ago, I used to go to the one in Portland, Oregon. And so it's a
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like a place where they would have filmed for Pulp Fiction, the original.
Exactly. it has that kind of look. But it's a restaurant and bar area that's been LGBT friendly forever. They had drag bingo and drag shows in the bar, and they had great food on the restaurant side. So it's been around forever. Well, the story, they started going downhill a little bit, and these two brothers, they both happen to be gay. These two brothers bought the corporation and started franchising out again, have now grown it back to 14 stores. And I saw them on Undercover Boss, that CBS television show, Undercover Boss.
Okay.
They actually were on Undercover Boss about a month and a half ago, 2 months back. So I thought, well, how can I get my little happy butt across plus do some good things for our good friend Ronnie and Eddie? And I called them up, and I just got off the phone today with the owner of Hamburger Mary's, who's going to sponsor a Left of Straight road trip from Chicago to California. And we're going to have Eddie and Ronnie fly into Chicago with me. They have 7 locations west of Lincoln, as you say. So we're going to start in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we're going to do a radio show from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, then from Chicago, Illinois. Then
that's east of Lincoln. Remember, west of Lincoln is only a little thin strip, and then you're in the water. You weren't a Boy Scout.
Okay, I'm going west. I'm going west of Lincoln.
Hang on tight when you get out here to Provincetown, because it gets really confusing once you get to that little end of the hook as to where east, north. Just stick with me. I'll get you out of there. Don't worry. Okay, go ahead.
It's horrible. It's been horrible. Ever since I moved, lost California, lost my mountains, I never know.
This is delicious, though. I love this trip. Keep going.
Yeah,
keep going.
Go
I'm with
you. We're going to Kansas City, Missouri, and then to Denver, Colorado.
Man.
And then to L.A., there's three places in L.A., and every Thursday, I'm going to be doing our show from Hamburger Mary's. And we're going to talk about bullying because it's October is bullying month, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And Hamburger Mary's are going to pick up the bill, so a big shout-out to them for doing all of this.
That's beautiful.
And it's
going to
be a fun thing, and we're going to have all the Left of Straight radio shows featured throughout the country. We're going to have all sorts of press on it. All over the place. So we're going to be getting a lot more listeners, my friend, coming October.
That's
fantastic. So it's a fun deal, but you're going out.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
By the way, congratulations.
You
before you turn the mic over, congratulations. You work so hard at everything else that you do. When you combine the idea of those guys are wonderful. I really like them. They so impressed me from the moment the stuff they did. I can't think of the Hollywood Boulevard without that opening that they do now. It's so funny, right? So I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for them. And I'm so happy for these guys that you know, turn the entrepreneurial spirit into a positive thing for the Rainbow community. I was saying this just when the music was playing before, but we must be doing something right for the Rainbow community, Scott, because meanwhile, the entire sky here has turned pink. And it's just gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful.
When you were talking about that. So I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. That is, I'm so, so are we going to be able to do some shows on the road as well for Healing Stigma? Is that going to happen?
We're going to do that eventually. I want to have that done. We got to make sure we do it either in, well, what I'm hoping to do, and I'll be honest here with you.
Yeah.
And the good thing about this is it's going to be a fundraiser too. We're going to do a GoFundMe campaign for the entire trip.
Oh, cool.
And each of the Hamburger Marys is going to do an event while we're at their store to make money Friend Movement, which
is
great.
Nice.
And we're
that's
also
nice.
Going to put together a Friend Movement challenge, sort of like the Ice Buck Challenge on
yeah,
how to
yeah,
be a
yeah.
better friend. We're going to do a friend challenge across the country. So it's really come together well. But if it
that
goes as
really
well as
brilliant.
I think, the next set of restaurants for Hamburger Mary's are all in Florida. So I think you and I need to do the Florida end of this. And we'll do Healing
Ooh.
Stigma all up and down Florida in the wintertime
yeah.
when it's cold and get our
yeah.
happy butts out of the Northeast.
Oh, that's really nice. We could get the Healing Stigma mobile bus, so like one of those ones that gets there, and then it goes double wide. The whole thing comes out on hydraulics, you know, and like wherever we
oh,
go,
I
we just plug
that.
In. You know what I'm saying?
I
oh, I'm down
that.
With that. You know, one
well,
of the best
it.
Places are to the two islands off of Fort Myers, Captiva and Sanibel on the West Coast. I'll share that now just with our audience. Don't tell anyone else, okay? Shh. But Captiva and Sanibel Islands are just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Yep.
That
yep.
is fantastic.
And not
well,
the rest of Florida.
Well, like I said, we're going to do this great event for Friend Movement, and then you and I are going to have
yep.
to talk and come up with a really great, maybe someone for mental health or someone will kind of pick one of our charities and do the same
yep.
thing down in Florida, hopefully in the
Absolutely.
Wintertime this winter. So excited
Absolutely.
Stuff, but no, talking, let's go ahead and throw it back to you, though, about you're doing a lot in D.C. in October, too, right? We're both going to be
yeah,
busy in October.
It's going to be busy. It's an important month. We have naturally Celebrate Bisexuality Day comes it starts really in the end of September and into October. But also in October is it's going to be the third annual meeting in person. We do monthly virtual meetings, but this is going to be the in-person meeting for the, again, the working party that I work with. It's a mouthful, but I want to say it because it's wonderful. For the Department of Health and Human Services, is the trauma-informed congregations. It's an interfaith group, leaders, community leaders, and others that have a vested interest in trying to address trauma, learn about it before it happens, when it happens, afterwards, because oftentimes, you know, these are really, in many ways, culturally and faith leaders and others, the first responders to trauma when it sometimes isn't reported and doesn't get picked up in other ways. This is oftentimes the people who see it head on and are so wonderful. And when I get to, you know, talk about my story, naturally I'm there as a stig. I'm not there as a faith leader. Absolutely. Don't please. I've always said this before. I'm a recovering Catholic and I'm not trying to joke about that. I'm actually someone who, you know, after everything that I have seen and everything else that goes on in the world, the one thing I go in there as is a stigma expert is I say, listen, I have seen what so many different faiths have done and in some ways have affected the cause of my brothers and sisters in the Rainbow community. And that's the prism that I must look at everything through. I must. I absolutely
right.
have to because, you know, like I said, because I'm an out male bisexual, I don't think that I understand anything that goes on for people of color or for my transgender brothers or sisters. But if something I read about happens to a community and they see the statistics or feel something, and that is for everyone else then felt or addressed like a stigma, boy, it really sends the hair up on the back of my neck and I try to learn more about it. So that sensitivity is part of what I'm going to be doing when we get together in this third year. And I think the group gets bigger and bigger every year. But, yeah, going back to D.C. are some of the smartest, hardest-working people. And here's this. In a year of all the other things that people are talking about politically, I'm going there with people who absolutely dedicate their lives to building these bridges, forming peaceful bonds with people who truly at times in their community are in need. And sometimes our funding and everything else or whatever our services is don't find them. Oftentimes, again, as I'm finding, and people are thankful for it because they understand that things like stigma, shame, anticipated stigma keeps people from reaching out or having that talk with their healthcare provider or having a talk with an employer or a mental health practitioner, whatever it is. And so oftentimes it is people who aren't necessarily who you would think of as having that first discovery of trauma, of having that first discovery of stigma. But these are some of the people that do, and they're just amazing. They really are. So I'm looking forward to that. And maybe, again, we'll do a live show from D.C. We'll have to see.
That would be fantastic. So much exciting stuff happening. We're so excited. We hope you tune in every Thursday for us right here on Blog Talk Radio, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have not downloaded the app yet, please get to your app store. They're both available on iPhone and Android.
Get your app over there. Get your app over there, please.
Exactly. Listen to Kevin. And just do a little search in your app store for Left of Straight Radio. The app comes right up. Never miss an episode. Of course, like we said, you can, if you have missed an episode, you want to go to the website and get more information about our guests. Each guest has their own page at www.healingstigmaradio.com. Totally newly redesigned. Gorgeous website.
Scott.
Yeah.
Hi. Once our guest last week, Samson, gets his own page, on the website, how can you listen to that voice just for one episode? So, folks, you're going to have to go there. You're going to have to get the app because Samson's voice is so beautiful. You're going to have to hear that show at least a couple of times. Whenever you get stressed, just turn that episode on. And trust me, you're going to relax a little bit. So this is Healing Stigma. We got to thank him. We got to have him on again. His voice is so lovely and he's so funny. So there you go.
Well, it's funny. I listened to the show back the other day off SoundCloud, right? And between your voice and his voice, I had to be – because I know – we remember last week – we told our audience last week that I was running behind. I taped the episode in my car, basically. So it's an 80-degree heat in the car.
Yep.
And I'm listening to it back. And all I'm doing is panting, listening to your guys' beautiful voices. And I'm going up, and I must have been having an asthma attack or something because all I can hear
I
in the background –
I thought you were trying to get in the shade of a Taco Bell sign. From what I heard,
oh
there was like
God.
A very thin bit of shade.
I could see the Taco Bell, but I couldn't get over to the Icy in time.
You're
so,
brilliant,
my
friend.
Between the two of you, you guys have the most amazing voices. I was being lulled into an asthma attack. It was just so nice listening to you. I barely.
Well, Hamburger Mary's sounds like a first-class trip compared to that. So we're
well,
going
these
places.
Guys are such great guys for the LGBT community. They do such
just
good
work. Just call me Weezy because we're moving on up. That shows my age group. That shows what
exactly.
I remember on TV.
Exactly. We are to the east side, my friend. I love it.
Yeah.
All right,
brilliant.
Guys, we also
all
have
right.
our Facebook page. We have our – go ahead and make sure you follow us on
please do.
Twitter at Heal Stigma Radio, and that will do it for this week's show. Kevin, as always, it's been a pleasure. I'm so in awe of everything you do. Thank you
right
so much for being
you.
My co-host, and we will talk
yes,
to you
thank
all.
You.
You're very welcome. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Bye-bye.